Hey, good morning.
Whoa, everyone.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. The order is going to be a little different than what's up there. I just flew in from LA, and I think I broke about 18 traffic violations driving to church, but I made it on time, praise God. Pray that those cameras didn't catch anything. I was driving pretty fast. Okay, Luke chapter 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. It came about that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, yet while in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." And the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And it came about when the days of his priestly service were ended that he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth his wife became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me, to take away my disgrace among men." Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to you, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. Now behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Let it be done according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And he has brought down rulers from their thrones, and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it came about that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. And his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he should be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And they made signs of his father and to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was open and his tongue loosed and began to speak in praise of God. And fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him." And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Amen. Well, welcome this morning. I just want to just give you a little outline of what we're going to do when we get together in the morning. I want you to come, we start at 7, and so it'd be good to come on time. And I want you to spend at least the first 10, 15 minutes or so just reading your Bible. You may be very tempted to start praying, but there's just something about just getting the Word of God that's living active inside of you. And so it's a good idea to start just in terms of your own personal devotion, just by spending time with God in the Word of God. And then I'll come up and teach and hopefully have some points of introspection for you through the teaching. And we'll go through one chapter a day. And then we'll have some worship. And then we'll pray over some things as a group. And then we'll pray over individuals. And please do send some requests. I think only 3 people responded so far. So we have 3 prayer requests. So hopefully they're all available today. And then you'll have your own personal prayer time. And so I know today's Saturday, so it's okay. But I know some of you guys have to work. And so we plan to finish this about 7:35 every day if everything works out according to plan. Okay. So let's turn to Luke chapter 1. And so we had this story, and you guys are familiar. I think I taught on Luke probably, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 years ago, during the morning times. And Luke is part one of a 2-volume set, right? So you have Luke and Acts. And so Luke, the doctor, a companion of Paul, he wrote this part. And Luke is probably the most, complete work or most organized work out of all the other guys, because Luke was a doctor, right? He's a smart guy. And so when Luke wrote, he had a specific purpose of why he wrote. And we'll talk about some of these purposes. But he starts off in Luke and also in Acts the same way. And he says, and he's making a timeline picture to his friend Theophilus. Now, most scholars believe that this could have been a person, and some don't believe that, because the word Theophilus, if you break it down, just simply means a friend of God or a lover of God. Theo, God, and Philus from the word phileo, right? So this most scholars believe this is just written to all, right, the people that love God, right, as opposed to one person. But, it doesn't matter. You can pick both sides. They'll both be fine, right? It's not sin if you believe one or the other. And then, so he begins to tell them the truth, because he's laying out a very comprehensive, successive account of Jesus and his purposes and his ways. And hopefully that will carry on into, the next generations to come forth. And so the first person that he begins to talk about is the birth of John the Baptist. So there's just a few kind of good points here to touch on. The first thing, I just want you to go to verse 15. Right, it says, "And he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." Now, I point this scripture out because this passage of scripture has helped me tremendously, you know, and hopefully it will help you a little bit too. Because, you know, one of the questions I've always had as a pastor, because, you know, we understand, you know, about accepting Christ and, you know, it's the only way to God and all these things, you know, and the question that I always had was, what happens to babies, you know, that die prematurely? You know, or babies that get aborted, or, you know, babies that die, you know, right after they're born. We've had these scenarios. You know, the first funeral that I ever did in my life was actually a five months, you know, premature birth, basically. And so the baby came out 5 months, and I mean, it was just, you know, I don't think I did the family any service. I just cried the whole service, you know, during this time. It was such a sad, you know, time. And so, you know, so what happens to that baby? You know, and I would search through the scriptures and try to find, because, you know, we know God is love and he's, you know, he's fair and he's just and all these things. And surely he would not allow a baby to go to hell, you know, and these things. And but yet you can't just go off what you think. You know, you can't just go off what you feel. You know, well, this seems right, but again, it's got to be backed by the word of God. And I found, I don't want to say a loophole, you know, but I found something in the Bible that just helped me tremendously. Hopefully it helps you. You know, and it says, and this John, right, the Baptist here, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit yet while in his mother's womb. No one presents the gospel to John, right? Obviously, because he probably can't hear, you know. I mean, he's a little baby in the womb, but he is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and what that speaks to me, and you can draw all kinds of conclusions, what that speaks to me, it just speaks to me about the justice of God. You know, about the breath of the salvation of God and what he can do it in people's lives. You know, and so you can take whatever you want from that. I know that this passage is, for me, it's very meaningful to me. You know, and in a time where, you know, really questioning a lot of things, you know, about God and his love and those things, you know, it sets a peace again to say, yes, God, you are loving, you're fair, you're just. You know, if you can touch John in the womb, right, you can touch that aborted fetus, or you can touch that, you know, 5 month stillborn child, or, you can do all kinds of things because God is just and he's loving. Okay, well, that's not what I wanted to talk about so much, but I just throw that at you, right, just to contemplate some more. And then he turns, and so we had this episode with Zacharias, and he's confronted by an angel. Notice, it doesn't fail. Every single time a person is confronted by an angel, they're scared to death, okay? And so always register with that, you know. Don't ever, people always say, well, you know, I'm so afraid. Well, you should be afraid, you know. That's the pattern of Scripture, you know. Especially people that experience, like, supernatural things. You know, maybe for the first time people pray in tongues, or they hear someone pray in tongues, they're, oh, man, I'm freaked out about this. Well, you should be freaked out about this, right? I mean, people freaked out in the Bible all along. And so that's a natural response to spiritual matters, you know, so to speak. And so Zacharias, he gets this word, you know, and this is Gabriel that comes. And notice something that happens significantly here. It says in verse 20, he says, "And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." Right? I want to suggest to you that Zacharias was in a moment of faith. He was in a moment of crisis. He was a moment of trust. You know, and, you know, you got to understand that Zacharias was a righteous man. You know, the verse in verse 6, it says that they're both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. So this was a good man. This was a good woman, right? But see, you know, aside from being a good man or good woman, there comes moments of faith in our lives. You know, and it seems crazy out there, but these moments of faith come where you trust God or you don't. Now, the benefit of trusting God is, I mean, you're blessed. You know, this reward, I mean, God just does amazing things. Now, the downfall of not trusting God in those moments is you lose your voice, right? You lose your testimony. You lose your right to speak into people's lives. You know, you lose that. You know, I remember ministering to a family, you know, and their father had died, and their two sons, and one was kind of going to church, and the other one refused to go to church. The dad was a faithful deacon at his church, you know, his Korean family, you know, faithful and, you know, and all these things. But yet, as he was dying, in that moment where, you know, he was livid. You know, there was no peace, you know, as he goes. And this is a faithful man that trusted God with his life, you know, that served in church, you know, 20-some years, right? You know, it seemed on the outward very faithful. But in that moment of trust, he wigged out. Now, you can't blame him for wigging out. So that's not the point of the, you know, what I'm saying here, right? I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen when we're faced with death? You know, who knows how we're going to react, you know? And this particular father just did not die graciously as a man who trusted God. You know, just worrying and, you know, I mean, it was just not a pretty scene at the hospital, basically. And the two sons saw this. And the one son, the younger son, looked and said, what's the point of this whole faith thing? If you dedicate your whole life to God and you don't even die with peace, there's no shalom. And so he just rejected the church, he just rejected God, rejected faith. You know, and what I want to say to you, right, in that moment, and I'm not blaming anyone or, you know, anything. I'm not trying to bring any denigration to anyone, you know, but when we come into moments of faith, and we'll all have moments of faith, you know, we'll all have moments where, you know, we're tested in some ways. You know, we'll have moments where we can express, you know, like, yes, I trust God, I believe in God. And then we may have moments where that doesn't happen at all. You know, and what happens is, and this is the thing, friends, what happens when we don't operate out of faith and we operate out of fear is you lose your voice. You lose the ability to speak. You know, and I want to suggest to you, I'm not just talking about saying things with your words, right? I'm talking about credibility to speak into people's lives. Think about the testimonies that we have, right? Think about the testimonies that you've heard that have touched you, right? It's because people were standing in the precipice of that moment of faith, and they decided to jump and trust God, right? You know, you don't hear anyone say, well, yeah, I was right there in that moment, and I backed out. That's not a testimony. Right? I mean, I don't know what that is, right? You know? But those things are what stirs us. You know? We go for it in God. And you know, the moments of faith come, and we jump, and we trust God. And that's how a testimony is birthed. That's how credibility is birthed. Right, that's what gives us a right to speak into people's lives. You know, and I'm not talking about a right to speak in someone's life as if they're going to receive. But I'm talking about power, anointing. That when you do speak, right, there's something that happens through your words because faith has been established. You know, we're through this whole process, and this is, you know, I like this right from the beginning, right. In verse 17, it says, and is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, disobedience to the attitude of the righteous, just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know what you're doing here this morning? You know what we're going to be doing for the next 21 days, 30 days, 40 days, however long you go through this? We are operating as forerunners. We are preparing the way for something to happen. You know, I don't know what your requests, and, you know, I've only seen a few of them because only three people responded, like I said before, right? You know, but everyone's praying for something. They're praying, you know, there's people on the end of these prayers, right? Especially these requests. It's not just something that we have in the air. We just think, oh, that's a good idea to pray for this. No, there are strategic people on the end of these prayers. You know, praying for mothers and fathers and, you know, praying for cousins and classmates and friends and children, right? There's someone at the end, you know, praying for missions. And there's somebody there at the end of your prayer, at the end of your obedience. And what we're doing when we come out in the mornings, and so I want to inspire you to come out, you know, and that it's not just a duty or something, but you're operating out of a forerunner spirit that makes the path ready and prepared for the Lord. You know, and what I want to envision, what I want to picture, that when I come and pray, right, that you know, I'm like a gardener, right? I'm clearing the road. You know, I'm praying for someone in particular. I'm in my prayers. I'm just cleaning that road, right, to make that path straight for that person, either come into faith or, you know, come into a promise or, you know, or whatever the case may be, come into healing. You know, whatever things we're praying for. And so I want you to have that kind of attitude. And I love it that Luke sets us up right from the beginning, right, with that verse. And it says it's a forerunner spirit, you know, to make and prepare the way of the Lord. You know, that there'll be a connection from what and who we're praying for and, you know, and our prayers. Okay? And so with that in mind, I already went over the allotted time, I noticed, the whole time. So, Pastor Nate, are you leading, who's leading worship today? You are? So as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, I just want you to go into a place of meditation and just think upon this, right? You know, I mean, I touched on a few things, and, you know, in the morning, we're not going to go through the whole chapter per se, you know, and so we're just going to highlight little things here and there. But what are you preparing the way for right now? Who is at the end of your obedience? Who is at the end of your prayer? You know, and with that in mind as well, you know, if, and I imagine some of you are in that moment of faith, let me inspire you to jump. Right, so that God can build a testimony in your life. Revelation, right, 12:11 says, and they overcame, they as the church overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and despised their life even unto death. It was something about the testimony of God. That's what brought the eventual, you know, decimation of Satan, of Lucifer. Right, it was the testimony of God's people because they jumped. Right, so Pastor Nate, lead us and let's meditate on these things.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more. Silver only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. To worship thee. and I long to worship thee.
Let's take this moment and let's pray for ourselves today. Let's start off with that. If you're in a moment of faith, pray for strength and courage. You know, when the angel says, fear not, right? He's just not telling him to have a different attitude. But when he speaks it, the ability to perform it is attached with it. So you don't have to operate out of fear. And so jump, and you let your voice be loud. Let's pray for strength during these next 21 days or so. That God would wake us up and that God would make our prayers to be sharp. I feel like some of you are here this morning because you want to jumpstart your prayer life. That maybe it's gotten kind of bland. Good. It's going to happen. That's God's desire. It's not yours. He wants you to be more intimate with Him in your language, in your prayers. And so let's just spend some time. Let's pray for our hearts. Let's pray for our attitudes. Let's pray for opportunities. And just cover ourselves in God right now. Second of our group prayer time, let's pray for your families. Let's ask God to just cover them right now, parents and siblings and cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents. Let's ask God to keep them healthy. You know, if they're sick, let's pray for healing. Let's ask the Lord that all the relationships within the family would just continue to grow. And if there's family members that don't know Jesus, that Jesus Christ would reveal Himself in that household. And that people would come to know the Lord in a deep, profound way. And use you to be that messenger as well. So let's lift up our families before God, their finances, businesses, and jobs. And just ask God just to cover them as you make way and prepare the way of the Lord over your family right now. Let's pray. And lastly, let's pray for our church. Let's pray that God's purposes will be accomplished this year. That 2010, this would truly be a year of harvest and blessing. Let's pray that we would really walk into the fullness of what God has in store for us here in Hong Kong, throughout Asia. Let's pray for our building and ask God to prepare the way for us as we congregate together in a new place, a larger place, a place that we just believe is just going to be full of His glory and that will enable us to continue to fulfill all that He has for us. So let's just cover our church and our building and ask God's hand to be upon us. Let's go to our individual prayer. And first one is Kian. Let's pray for her. You see the, I'm not going to read them all out loud. You can see them there on the screen. And so let's just spend a moment and let's just lift our sister up before the Lord. So our second member, let's pray for Jonathan. He's got four requests. Let's lift him up before the Lord. And our last member today, as we pray for them, pray for Grace Chuang in Taiwan. Lord, we bless you, God. We thank you this morning, God. We thank you for a good start, God, that, Lord, we want to just give ourselves, Lord, for this month, God, and just in preparing the way, God. We pray, Lord, that forerunner spirit, God, would come upon each one of us, Lord, come upon us as a church, God, that we would, God, in all that we do, God, in all that we say, God, in all that we think, God, and that we would make way, Lord, and prepare the way of the Lord. And Father, help us, God. And as we pray, Father God, give us that visual picture, Lord, of us clearing the roads, God, clearing any debris, clearing obstacles, God, that have been in front of people that have hindered them, God, from drawing near to you, Lord, and knowing who you are. And so help us, God. Give us strength, Lord, to remove boulders and remove preconceptions, God, and anything that gets in the way of people coming to know you, God, and coming to receive from you. So help us, God, as we pray now. We thank you. We bless you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please continue to spend some time with the Lord. And obviously you're dismissed to leave whenever you need to go.